Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That familiar verse from Psalm 37 begs the question, what are the desires of my heart? I am Rob West. We may be so interested in getting what we desire that we forget the other side of the equation, delighting in the Lord. Today we'll talk about desires and how they can either direct us or distract us. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Think about a time in your life when you didn't want anything. You can't do it, can you? Desire is a part of being a human being, whether you're looking for love, money, success, attention, peace, or just something quick to eat. Desire can be a positive or negative force in your life. A desire to pay off debts or save for a car can motivate a person to work harder and spend less. A desire for attention can cause a person to buy flashy clothes or a fancy car they can't afford. A desire for power can convince someone they need to put themselves first. The desire to protect and nurture children is part of what makes families work. God knows this about us, of course. He made us that way. Genesis 1 tells us Adam and Eve were created in God's image, perfectly designed for a relationship with each other and the Lord. In His wisdom and love for His creation, God also set boundaries and allowed humankind to choose whether to obey Him or not. Adam and Eve desired independence, and as a result, their rebellion severed that perfect relationship with God. So what are the desires of your heart? There are so many things you can want. Most of it probably seems good to you. But if you're a Christian, you must ask if what you desire draws you away from your Creator, who has called you to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, in Colossians 3:2. A moment ago, I said that desire can either distract us or direct us in our walk with the Lord. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes your desires can distract you from following Jesus, with dire consequences. James 1:14 explains this. It reads, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." There's another example of distracting desires in 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul warns Christians about immoral behavior. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. On the other hand, desires that align with God's will can direct you away from sin and into a deeper walk with Jesus. As the Lord told His followers in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Do your desires line up with what God wants? David wrote about the desires that please God in Psalm 40, verse 8. "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Later, Hebrews 10:16 quotes Jeremiah, who foretold God's new covenant in Christ. "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." When Jesus is your Lord and Savior, He gives you a new heart and identity as a child of God. Your old nature and old desires don't define you anymore. You can choose to let those old desires back into your life, but they will distract you. It takes prayer and discipline, but when you choose to delight in the Lord's ways each day, He will begin to refocus your desires on Him and His purposes. Psalm 37, where we started today, is full of instructions for living in a way that pleases the Lord. Here are just a few. Trust the Lord. Do good to others all the time. Make faithfulness a way of life. Offer your plans to Him every day. Wait patiently for God's guidance. Don't let anger get control of you. And don't be anxious about what evil people do. Ephesians 5:1 sums this all up by reminding us that Christians who desire God more than anything else look like Jesus. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Well, I hope that encourages you to begin delighting in the Lord so you may have the desires of your heart. When your desires align with God's, you have perfect peace. By the way, our study, Rich Toward God, can help you dive deeper into this topic. You can check it out at our website, faithfi.com. Just click the button that says shop. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Work, work, work. It's one of the top values in our culture. A lack of sleep is a badge of honor. Work itself isn't bad, but workaholism can become an idol and lead us to ignore the Lord's intention for us to rest. In Exodus 20, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The way Israel observed Sabbath back then and the way Christians rest today looks different, but the principle remains. We were made to work and rest our bodies and to rest in Christ. So don't be afraid to buck the trend and take time to rest in the Lord. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're so glad you're along with us today as we help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, as we think about our role as stewards, this is a really important responsibility. We've been entrusted by the Lord. It all belongs to Him. Therefore, we're managers, and the goal is faithfulness, long obedience in the same direction as it relates to all facets of our lives, but that certainly includes our management of God's money. We want to help you get it right, and the only way we can do that is to look to Scripture to see those big themes of lordship and stewardship and generosity and contentment. And then drill down into the practical decisions and choices, realizing that our goals should be informed by our values. We shouldn't take our cues from this world. If we can't get stuck in the comparison trap, comparison is a contentment killer. Instead, we need to start with the admonition of Scripture that money has the potential, despite it being a good creation from the Lord, to compete with our hearts for devotion to God. We can't allow it to do that. We see God as our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool to give and to provide and to enjoy and to even invest in ways that
promote human flourishing and are a blessing to the world. We also make those practical decisions as we live, give, owe, and grow God's money. And so we want to spend less than we earn and avoid debt. And we want to set long-term goals. We want to have some margin or some liquidity. And we want to give generously because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. Well, in all of that, I think we can find God's heart. But for each of us, it's a matter of on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I can't tell you what your lifestyle should look like. I think that's between you and the Lord. But it should be an ongoing conversation, and we want to help you navigate those very practical decisions that you have each day in your financial life. So what's on your mind today? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, in the news today, there's debate on whether Social Security benefits should be taxed at the federal level, and that's coming up in election politics these days. While it's becoming less common for states to tax these benefits, eight of them still do impose taxes on Social Security. Those include Colorado, Connecticut, Minnesota, Montana, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Utah, and Vermont. Now, the rate of taxation varies by state, of course, with some having more generous exemptions than others. Certainly probably not worth moving to a state that doesn't tax Social Security benefits, but still something that's important to know. And that, among other things, related to economics and our economy moving forward, but also taxation, are going to continue to be hotly debated, especially as we move ever so swiftly toward November the 5th. But a lot to think about there. We want to get into your economy, though. What's going on in your financial life? That number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Georgia today. Hi, Deanne. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you. My goodness, it's wonderful to talk to you. I listen to your program regularly and have learned so much.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Deanne.
Anyway, this is my question. In mid-April this year, I received an email from AT&T informing me of a data breach which could have exposed some of my personal information. They offered a free year of credit monitoring and identity theft detection. The deadline for signing up is August 30th. Then the first week of May, I received a letter in the mail from AT&T detailing the same information. I have not yet signed up because I'm concerned the email may not be genuine. How can I determine if the email is genuine?
Yeah, it's a great question. There was a data breach that affected AT&T customers, and I got the same letter. My mom did as well, interestingly. But you do have to be careful about fraudsters that are piling on something legitimate and using it for nefarious purposes. So AT&T, as a result, is advising customers, and this is just good information, to never give any personal information through a text, a phone call, or an email. I will say, though, that on the heels of a data breach, I think that is the time to take advantage of these free credit monitoring services. Typically, I would say, until you've been the victim of such an event, probably not worth paying for that kind of service unless you just have that available in the budget and it gives you added peace of mind. But there are, most of the things you need to do just as a best practice on an ongoing basis, you can do without paying for it. That would include changing your passwords regularly, signing up for two-factor authentication, keeping your operating system up to date, monitoring your accounts and credit reports to be, vigilant, looking for signs of scams, freezing your credit, also free, where you put a PIN number on each of the three credit bureaus. Those would be the types of things that you can do without any cost. But in the event of a data breach like this one, I think signing up for this free credit monitoring is a great way to go. One of the things you can do is just go directly to AT&T.com and review AT&T's fraud page. They have a web page that they've set up for this, and you can just verify that the credit monitoring you're being alerted about is in fact the one that's legitimate and that they are going to pay for. But I would advise you in this case to go ahead and take advantage of it. I think it's a good move for you here. As you think about protecting yourself in the future. So, Deanne, it looks like you were not able to hold and we were disconnected, but hopefully you're listening to me right now. And again, att.com if you have any questions. But I would say the data breach is accurate related to AT&T. I would advise you to take advantage of the free credit monitoring and just use this as a great reminder and a time to check that you are using some of those best practices that I mentioned. Thanks for being on the program today and for your kind remarks. We're grateful. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Jeremy. How can I help, sir?
Yes, sir. I have 5 credit cards that are maxed out. And it's only about $2,600 total that I owe, but the interest rates are like 35%. And then I have an opportunity to take a loan out on my car that I own for 23% interest in the amount that I can pay off each of those credit cards and maybe close out a few of them. And I was just wondering if that's a wise decision or not.
Yeah,
I own the car, and then I would be making $90 a month payment.
Yeah. I would avoid that if at all possible, and here's why. I mean, what you have right now is unsecured debt, albeit expensive unsecured debt, but it is unsecured debt. And you're going to be securing it to the car, which just means that if anything, went sideways in your financial life unexpectedly, now all of a sudden your car is at risk, and that would not be the case in your current situation. So the question is, how do we get those interest rates down without attaching it to some collateral that could be lost? And, the way to do that is, in my view, through our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. What would happen is, this is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm, so it's not going to show up in your credit score. The cards would be closed, and the interest rates would be dropped to somewhere between 0 and 12%. And then you'd send one monthly payment, probably similar to the current minimum payment, except now that payment would be fixed. It wouldn't decline as the balances decline, and the interest rates would be dropped significantly, which means you get out of debt 80% faster. You leave the debts right there, and you don't attach any collateral. Again, that's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. I've got to hit a break. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hi, I'm Riley Wellman, director of the AFA Foundation. One of my main things that I like to do is visit with our supporters, whether it's traveling or just on the phone. We just love to meet with people, and if they have a complicated situation, we would love to sit down and talk with them. You can visit us at afafoundation.net or give us a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You heard during that break our good friend Riley Wildman from the American Family Association Foundation. What a great opportunity, especially while this market is, you know, red hot. Despite the volatility, we still are right at all-time highs. What a great opportunity to think about supporting the work of the American Family Association through your asset-based giving, whether that's appreciated stock, giving the gift of stock before it's sold to miss the capital gains and get more into circulation in God's economy, or funding a charitable gift annuity where you get a partial tax deduction and income stream for life, and then ultimately what's left goes to AFA at your death. Any one of those options, the team at the AFA Foundation, including Riley, would be delighted to sit down with you. Just reach out at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. By the way, during that previous segment, we talked to Jeremy about his credit card debt. If you'd like to get out of debt, you know, we're seeing record credit card debt in the United States. As of August 2024, so this month, we've reached an all-time high, $1.14 trillion. And this, of course, reflects significant increases over the previous years with a growing reliance on credit in the midst of high inflation. If you would like to get out of debt, credit card debt once and for all, again, our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org is our preferred solution for that. They've helped thousands of our listeners. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to head to Georgia and welcome Kirk. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I have a friend who's on disability and receives subsidized rent and is also on Medicare, Medicaid, but he also has a car and other kind of expenses, and he tends to basically run out of money most months, especially if there's car trouble or something. And so I suggested a part-time job of 20 hours a week, maybe getting $10 to $12 an hour.
Yeah.
His chief concern is that making that additional money, that little bit, which I think would provide a cushion for him, would somehow jeopardize his disability and the other things that he receives to support him. He is capable of doing some work. He just can't work full time.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, the good news is your friend can earn up to $1,680 a month on an ongoing basis before his work would be declared what's called substantial gainful activity, which would then put his disability benefits in jeopardy. He can also earn any amount for 9 consecutive months without impacting his benefits under what's called a trial work period. But again, if you want something that's more sustainable, you'd have to key in on that $1,680 a month. He should declare to the Social Security Administration that he would like to enter a trial work period. It gets a little confusing because the trial work period uses a different earnings amount. But again, he can still earn up to that $1,680 without jeopardizing those benefits. But any month with the earnings above, I think it's $1,050, will count as one of his 9 trial work period months. And if he doesn't report the trial work period, it could result in an overpayment of benefits, which would have to be repaid. So, you know, I would contact SSA just to talk through it with them. But the bottom line is, depending on how much he's looking to earn, you know, there are options here.
Oh, that's great information. So 1680 is the maximum, and then we should get in touch with the Social Security Administration.
You're
great.
Exactly
no,
right.
Thank you very much. That's
all
very
right,
helpful.
Good deal. Thanks, Kirk. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Ellie. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call. My
sure.
husband and I have looked into Christian Credit Union. I believe you've talked about them before, but we noticed that they are not FDIC insured and wondered if that was a concern at all.
You know, it's not. And we love Christian Community Credit Union. You know, more and more believers like you, Ellie, and your husband are concerned about who their banking and financial partners are and whether they're aligned with their values as believers. You point out a good distinction here, and that is that Christian Community Credit Union is not insured by the NCUA, which is kind of the FDIC equivalent for credit credit unions, but they are insured by American Share Insurance, which is private. Now, they're 50 years old, which is only 4 years younger than the NCUA. It covers the same $250,000 per account, but it is per account. It's not per tax ID. No holder of ASI insured accounts has ever lost a dime. And they actually, at CCCU, have chosen to go this route because it gives them the freedom to lend to churches and ministries, which is key to their mission as a credit union. It's actually a bit more robust even than the federal deposit insurance. For example, and this doesn't apply to you, but a ministry with $1 million in working capital could put it into four accounts and get each of those insured up to $250,000. They also require them to maintain higher deposit ratios than NCUA, which just gives them, you know, greater resources and liquidity if they were ever in a time of trouble. So, you know, I think it's perfectly appropriate. You know, if you're concerned about being insured by a non-federal agency, I mean, I think it's important to remember that your house isn't insured by a federal government entity. It's a private company, and private insurance companies have been around a lot longer than federal insurance corporations. They go back to the 1700s. So I would say I have comfort with this personally, and hopefully those are just a few things to consider as you and your husband make the decision that's best for you. Is that helpful, though?
It is. Thank you so much. We figured that that may be the case, but yeah, just wanted to check back before we made any permanent decision.
Absolutely. For those folks who are out there interested in learning more, you can go to joinchristiancommunity.com, joinchristiancommunity.com, a wonderful partner that is really focused on serving God's people, but also taking a portion of their profits and as a credit union and getting that to work in God's economy and funding some really incredible mission work around the globe and even here domestically. So, Ellie, Lord bless you and your husband. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate your call. It was a great question. God bless you. Well, folks, another break here, and then back with more of your questions. We're going to head next to Scott in Ohio, but we've got room for you. What are you thinking about in your financial life? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Hey, are you looking for an advisor that shares your values as a believer? Well, that's what the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation is for. It's the only financial services industry designation accepted across the industry. All the big firms have approved CKA for use, and it's also the only designation around biblically wise financial advice. 1,500 CKAs across the U.S. and Canada have met high standards in character and competence. They've signed a statement of faith, a code of ethics, a regulatory review, pastor and client references, they've met an experience requirement, and they've gone through a university-based training program on giving biblical financial advice. You can find a CKA in your area when you search at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional at the top of the page. All right, back to the phones we go. By the way, we have two lines open. We'd love to hear from you today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Scott. Thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
How you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great. So basically my question is, I've been at my job for 16 years, and I do work other side jobs. I have a 403B that has roughly $130,000 in it, and due to the volatility of everything, I just want to try to invest or choose my investments more securely. And it appears there's really not a lot of options for, you know, investing in gold and silver or commodities, or, you know, anybody who's under 57. I'm 54 now, so that's roughly my question.
Yeah. What is your concern? Are you just concerned about the U.S. economy and perhaps these, you know, the stock portion of your portfolio declining, or have you seen declines? What is kind of at the heart of the question here?
Yeah, I really have no faith in the current course of things.
Yeah.
And the way we're going. And I think that, you know, when it goes, it's going to go big.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to see, you know, half of my earnings gone overnight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's yeah. Basically it.
Okay. You know, here's the reality. I certainly get that. You know, I think, you know, if we look back over the last 100 years, if you will, and you certainly could say this time is different, and I get that. We have real challenges and some real headwinds here in the United States and across the globe. But, you know, the very best place to build wealth over time has been in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. And I would include in that properly diversified portfolio gold and precious metals. I wouldn't overweight there if it were me. I would put no more than 10% in gold just because it does tend to be a little bit more volatile. It doesn't have the long-term performance in the way that stocks and bonds do, and it doesn't pay an income, which is, you know, one of the downsides that you can have with stocks through dividends and bonds through, you know, bond interest yield. So, you know, for me, what I would like to see you do is just make sure you're properly diversified, that you've got, you know, good diversification in the stock portion. I mean, somebody who's 55, I mean, we would typically say, you know, you'd probably want about half of your portfolio in stocks and the other half, you know, in more bond type investments. You could, you know, go up to 60% in bonds or maybe down to 40, but, you know, somewhere in that range. And the idea would be that that's going to help you outpace inflation. So you can not only grow this money, but you could offset the loss of purchasing power that comes, you know, from inflation. You know, in terms of what might come of the U.S. economy, I mean, I think, you know, the good news is that we're the biggest and strongest economy in the world. There's not a close second. We have, you know, the American corporations, the ingenuity and, you know, the innovative approach of just, you know, U.S. Workers is incredible. I think we're in a once in a 40-year event with AI in terms of how it's going to increase productivity, you know, the technological advancements in, you know, not only in technology, but technological advancements in healthcare and a host of other industries, I think, are going to propel us forward. What are the challenges we have? Well, you know, you could get into policy challenges. You could get into the U.S. national debt and just that our largest expenditure now, even beyond defense, is the national interest on the national debt. You could talk about just the fact that we're not replacing the retiring workers because we're not having as many babies anymore. And so there's demographics challenges. So there are clearly some issues. And I think if we stay on this course and don't get serious about restraint in spending, in budget deficits, that, you know, we're probably 10 to 20 years away from probably a European style or the potential for a European style debt crisis, which we could navigate. It would result in slower growth and higher inflation. And we've felt the effects of that over the last few years. But I would say that, you know, in terms of the banking system, the health of the economy, I mean, we're in a much better place than we were in 2008, just in terms of the reserve requirements from the banks and the health and the cash that's sitting in the U.S. corporations right now. So I would say for me, the best place is, you know, in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio where you have the ability to grow this thing. And you don't bury your head in the sand. You continue to watch. But, you know, I don't think, in my view, we're on the precipice of any kind of collapse. And if we were, I mean, the prices of gold would plummet just like stocks and bonds. You know, if we were to have some catastrophic economic collapse. And then I think the question is, okay, what do I do with this bar of gold? Am I, you know, chipping it off or am I buying it in coins? I mean, even a 1 ounce bar, how are you going to barter with that? It's not going to be easy to do. So I think for me, I would say, you know, let's keep our eyes open. Let's, you know, show up and vote for those who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation, that human beings are a blessing, not a burden, and that we were created to take God's creation and improve it and order it and be productive and work hard and be fruitful and multiply, and that we need to get government out of the way and let, you know, private enterprise do its thing. You know, so we need to show up and vote. We need to be invested and diversified properly. We need to manage our own economies well, meaning spending less than we earn, staying out of debt, saving for the future, giving generously. And if we do all of those things, at the end of the day, we trust the Lord as our provider, because I think there is a balance between provision, we're called to provide for our families, and protection, which is God's job. You and I will never be able to protect ourselves from the things of this world. That's ultimately in the Lord's hands. And so I think if we take that approach, we've done everything to put ourselves in the best position to experience God's best. doesn't mean we'll be without hardship. We certainly will. We live in a fallen world until Christ returns. But anyway, hopefully that's helpful to you. I mean, let me finish with the challenge in your 401k or 403b is you have limited options. You probably have some options that include the precious metals. You also may have a brokerage window where you could buy, you know, a gold ETF or something. So that might be something to look into where you could bring some precious metals into the portfolio. But I've got about 30 seconds before the break. Give me your thoughts on all of that.
Well, with the, you know, commodities investment, I've seen the option I have. Last time we took a 30% dive, they increased, you know, like 12 to 15%.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I would move more of it that way. But I would say that if the election doesn't head in a conservative route, if Trump doesn't get into office, then I'll most likely quit my job, clean out my 403B and pay off my house. And wow. Keep whatever income's coming my way.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you weighing in, Scott. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us.
What can parents do to help their college-bound students get connected with the local church? This weekend on The Stand Radio, Augustine Mendoza, Director of Spiritual Life at ORU, gives us some great ideas.
So I'd encourage parents to really think through maybe a list of questions you want to ask your student after they've been in college for a few weeks and make it tailored specifically to the local church.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, it's Friday and it's our final segment, which means Jerry Boyer's here. Jerry's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his market analysis. And Jerry's been a trusted partner of ours here at FaithFi and Kingdom Advisors for a long, long time. And Jerry, I'd like to pick up today before we get into the markets on where we just were in our conversation with Scott a moment ago, because I think this is where a lot of believers are. In just trying to discern, how do I be like the men of Issachar, understanding the times, not bury my head in the sand, recognize we have real challenges, perhaps even concern, and how do I balance that with trusting God and staying invested in the U.S. economy because I need to, you know, grow God's money and offset the effects of inflation? And, you know, despite the concerns that are out there, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the men of Issachar, because I think that's really important. You know, there's this reference in Chronicles to the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. And people just kind of key in on that, understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do without saying, well, what is it about these Issachar sons? You know, why did they understand the times? You know, there's 12 tribes. They're one of the 12 tribes. But no one else seemed to understand the times and know what Israel ought to do. And I've done a deep dive at this at one of your regional conferences for KA, Redeeming Money. I'm not going to get into a lot, but it involves the Issachar tribe in the Jewish tradition. You look at the rabbis, you look at some other hints in the text, seem to be the Bible study tribe. They were Bible scholars. but they're also bookkeepers for Zebulun, that was the commercial tribe. Issachar and Zebulun, biblical knowledge and financial knowledge together, working together, they were so together that when Moses gave the blessing, he didn't give a separate blessing. He treated them as though they were one tribe. There was one blessing for them together. And I think that's kind of what happens here with FaithFi, is deep biblical knowledge along with knowledge of markets. And I think what sometimes can happen for Christians is we look at our nation and we look at it to signs of moral decline. We compare our nation to what the Bible says it should be, and we see how far it falls far short. And we therefore think, well, then markets are going to just go down and it's going to be hyperinflation. It's all going to collapse. And we've been doing that for a long time. And it didn't collapse. You know, the economy kind of chugged on, and markets have sometimes done well during periods like that. So having financial knowledge to offset maybe the outrage we feel about bad policy proposals makes us understand that actually markets can sometimes go up during times when you have bad presidential leadership. For instance, when there's an easy Fed, or when there are technological breakthroughs. And so the kind of prophetic mindset of, you know, some of the stuff coming from Washington is so bad, or some of the stuff that will be coming from Washington is so bad, it's kind of a political, cultural, religious perception. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do over in finance. Not understanding that you have to have an understanding of finance as well, which includes diversification, which shows that sometimes some markets, some sectors can do actually quite well when there's bad economic leadership. So we have really had a tendency, our group, and by the way, I share all the concerns expressed by that caller, to go and apply that in the market. I know people never got back in after 2008, you know, because of some of these concerns, because Obama was so bad. And Obama's economic policies really left something to be desired. And yet markets did well. Why? Because an easy Fed allowed markets to do well. So I just would caution people not to get into that mode of getting focused on the religious and cultural issues to the point where it comes over into finance in a way that is not aware of our human limitations, the need for diversification, and the fact that human beings are productive even when government policies are bad, and that's part of the plan for humanity.
Yeah, we can violate those principles, and we've seen those, what you call principled reasoning. We see those principles violated from God's original design and intent for economics and wealth creation. And yet, in some cases, the violation of those principles can be rewarded in the financial markets, even though they shouldn't be, I guess, right?
Yes, especially monetary debasement and easy money and debt. That is a principle that can be violated for some time and actually have positive effects on markets. Eventually, you have to pay the piper. Eventually, there's a reckoning. But yeah, you know, if you just looked at that factor, people would have missed some really big market returns because the government's doing the wrong thing. Yes, and the central bank is pumping money into the system, and that easy money drives up stock valuations. So people who got all out and then got into gold, for instance, gold's done fine, but it's fallen short of stock market returns for quite a long period of time. And so I really think that understanding the timing is that just when you have an election where you get an outcome that you don't think is good for markets or good for the economy, that doesn't mean that the markets just go down right away. Now, on the other hand, markets, I'm not going to completely dismiss that, because I think the market behavior over the past couple of weeks is frankly anticipating the probability of a Harris victory and is reflecting that in lower market valuations. But how do I know that they're going to go even lower? How do we know that she's going to win? How do we know that if she does win, that the negativity won't already be largely reflected in the markets? Those are the kinds of questions we have to ask before we just sort of completely get out of the markets, almost as a statement of protest against political leadership that we think is bad leadership. And Harris's economic plan, I think one of the reasons the market's down today is that Harris is releasing her economic plan. And it looks to me like a pretty bad economic plan. I'm not saying to vote for her or not. There's lots of things you take into account. And I know people have concerns about Trump and some other issues. So I'm not going to take sides on who you should vote for. But as an economist, I'm going to say that what's rumored to come out today, what's reported to come out today, would not be good for the American economy. I think that's one of the reasons why markets were down. And I will point out that big correction last week occurred the very day after Harris passed Trump in the futures market. So markets are adjusting to the possibility of a Harris presidency and shrinking accordingly.
Jerry, you mentioned obviously the Fed, and just, and we've talked about this for years now, just the role of the Fed that's gotten way too big. It's the largest investor in the world, and it single-handedly moves these markets more than anything else. And once again, the reason we've run right back up to near all-time highs is simply because we had that tick below 3% on inflation. We had that soft jobs report. And so all signs are pointing to even more evidence that we're going to get these cuts sooner rather than later. I mean, that's really the big story here, right?
Yeah, it is. But isn't it interesting, the soft jobs report, markets sold off after the soft jobs report, which normally markets would have done well after that. All the, you know, there aren't that many jobs. The Fed's going to have to ease. And I think the Harris trade kind of, you know, kind of came in there and overrode that, although the Fed really has a lot of power. So you've got different forces pointing in different directions. So this week we got a lower than expected inflation. And so that was good for markets. The inflation's beaten. The Fed will be able to cut rates now like they really want to, and that will pump money into the markets, and that'll be good for markets. But then we're down today. So I think now we've got two major factors in play. One is, will the central bank pump money into the system? And the other is, will the presidential outcome create an environment that's worse for business and worse for profitability? And so you won't have the growth. So what the Fed can't cause the economy to grow. The Fed can just cause valuations to increase. Presidential policies, I should say political policies, can be good for growth or bad for growth. I think the Harris policies are generally bad for growth. I think the Trump policies were generally good, but with some exceptions like trade wars. And I think that the markets are kind of bouncing back and forth. Markets are thoroughly convinced the Fed is going to cut 50 basis points, half a percentage that in the September meeting, and then again in November. And yet that's not enough to buoy them up with the possibility of a Harris presidency. Again, I'm not telling people who to vote for. I understand there's lots of factors that people think about. That's not my job. I'm an economist. I'm supposed to be a political atheist when I approach these things. But looking at from an economic point of view, what Harris is planning to come out with today, which is going to blame the market for the inflation that government caused. It's going to go after companies for, quote, price gouging and try to push companies to press them to not raise prices even when there's inflation, which would put them into loss, which actually could cause shortages. I think that that would be very bad for the economy, and I think that market participants understand that.
Jerry, really helpful. Just a few moments left. Where do you want to finish today? Any final thoughts?
Well, this week I had an article in World News Group, World Opinions, about mifepristone, the abortion drug. We helped with a letter that Alliance Defending Freedom put together that went to Costco and Kroger's and Walmart saying, you surely shouldn't sell this drug. You can sell that drug once, and you can end the unborn life for $200. That's $200 revenue to end a life. Or you can sell $1,200 a year for the next 10, 15, 20 years, net present value $7,000. The baby is worth more to you financially alive than dead. Do not sell this drug. It's not just morally bad. It's bad for business.
Wow. Jerry, what kind of action? I know you've been encouraged as of late as it relates to just the response of some of these companies with regard to abortion, perhaps even, you know, some of the rogue groups pushing them to divest from states based on their abortion laws. We've seen some movement there, haven't we?
Yeah, so far, the pro-abortion movement, Planned Parenthood in particular, has been doing very badly. They had been doing well, but they've been doing very badly in proxy votes and in engagement with these companies. And I think that might continue. So that's a part of the wall that was unguarded. Now it's guarded. And so far, the forces of evil, and that's what I think Planned Parenthood is. I'm not going to mince words. The forces of evil have been kept out.
All right. Jerry, thanks for stopping by, my friend. We always appreciate your insights.
And yours.
All right. God bless you. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his market and economic analysis. Lois in Ohio, I'd love to tackle your question on giving to your church. I would like to see if we could do that on Monday. Unfortunately, I'm out of time today. Stay right there, and our team will try to get you rescheduled to be first on the next broadcast. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. Such a joy to hopefully offer some encouragement, some hope, and some sound biblical wisdom as it relates to your role in managing God's money. Hope you have a great weekend, and come back and join us next week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.